The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 2. It says to be watchful, of course, talking to a church here. It says be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. And so there's some things in this particular church that are ready to die. He says, for I have found thy works, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And I want to speak to you this morning on strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the things which remain. You know, there are several things that if you allow to die in your personal life, your church life will die, your relationship with Christ will greatly diminish, okay? And I want to talk to you about some of those things this morning that could greatly help you in your personal life not to allow these things to diminish or die, all right? So I want to give you some thoughts here this morning. Statement number one, don't let your freshness die. Don't let your freshness die. You ever get around somebody that's fresh? You ever get around fresh flowers? Well, if you're not allergic to them, it's a blessing. But, you know, you ever get around fresh flowers and you begin to smell them, or you have somebody, they kind of walk by you and they've got fresh cologne on, or a fresh perfume on, or maybe they've got, which you always thank God for this, that they wear anything fresh that's called deodorant, you know. I mean, you ever think, you know, those type of things. You can thank God for that which is a freshness. Over in Psalm 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, and he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. The Bible says that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's neat to be around people that they have this attitude that, wow, you know, this is neat, this is great, this is wonderful, look what God has done. You know, they kind of look at the bright side of things. I was going to tell about it tonight. I will tell about it. Brother Bachman pulled out of the parking lot. They're all excited. They were going home, and they got about an hour from here, and I think that they cracked the head on the bus, or maybe warped the head on the bus. I'm not really sure. Black smoke come hurling out, and so the bus wouldn't go anywhere. So he called me up. I called Brother Crutcher in. And I called Brother Craig in, and I said, hey, we've got a challenge here, and I need some insight. And so we started going back and forth about what to do, how to help them, from taking them a bus, picking up the children, taking them all the way up to Memphis, and then whoever's driving that bus, in that case, we're going to volunteer Brother Craig or somebody to take them up, drop them off, and then drive our bus back. Then we figured out we could do a van. We could do a van. It'd be cheaper on them, cheaper on us. We could get somebody to drive the van. So we got Kenny. We volunteered Kenny. And so Kenny, having a great servant's heart, said, hey, preacher, I'll do it. And so he came up, and there wasn't any air in the van. I mean, it wasn't working. So I thought, oh, we can't do that. You know, we're going to have 15 kids in there, adults, and they're going to drive for 6 hours or whatever with no air. We got to get that fixed. So I had Brother Crutcher go down and fix the air to make it a little bit nice of a journey. And so then Kenny took off, gets over there about 3 o'clock. They get on the road. They drive for just about 3 hours or so, and a tire blows out. No tire place open, and so they decided to spend the night in a hotel. Next morning, he gets up, Brother Bachman, 5 o'clock in the morning. He goes out, get the tire fixed, gets it fixed by 7 o'clock, comes back in, going to eat breakfast with the kids. Kids just now getting up, eating breakfast. They're going to take off, heading to Memphis. Get about an hour out, another tire blows. Well, it gets better than this. Another tire blows. And so they decide they're going to go to another Walmart, get that tire fixed. And so they come back, they get on the road. About an hour or so later, plus something like that, the third tire blows. I said, maybe God just wants to keep you in Texas. Maybe you missed your calling, you know. And so so 3 tires. And so finally I told Brother Bachman, you know, and what has happened is on the inside, I guess, of the tire, it had dry rotted. you know, on the inside. You couldn't see it on the outside, but on the inside it started to dry rot. And with pulling that heavy, heavy trailer, you know, with all that extra weight, you know, then of course, you know, the bodies in there with who knows what they're taking home from Texas. I know they took the pulpit home from Texas that was here and other things that kind of added to it, I'm sure. But with all that extra weight and stuff like that, plus we added Kenny, and Kenny weighs a lot anyway. And so you know, we added all that extra weight. And so as they're heading back up to Memphis, I told him, I said, just replace all the tires. You might as well. You've only got one left. And if you had three to blow, probably the other one's going to blow. Just unless you just want to go on, you know, maybe we'll come back and we'll have the hero tire. You know, this made it. But I said, go ahead and replace it. So he did. Finally got in there about 8 o'clock at night or something like that. Wore out, tired. And so that's where Kenny is this morning, attending church there in Memphis. And then he'll be heading back this afternoon. But here's what I learned. Brother Bachman, throughout all of this episode, never lost his freshness. I said, how's your kids doing? He said, preacher, they're great. He said, they think this is an adventure. He said, they never lost their freshness. He said, they think this is neat. They can't wait for tire number 4 to blow. I said, well, that's great. Okay, but here's what you see. The Bible talks about that there is a freshness here. The Bible talks about there's the tree planted by the rivers of water. It bringeth forth, it says, his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. It says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so there is a way to retain freshness in your life. Now, how do you do that? Well, you know, when I'm hot, I'll take a shower. Let me give you another idea. I take a bath in the Word of God. When you take a bath in the Word of God, here's what happens, okay? Not only do you get clean, but there's a freshness there. Here's what you can do. You can believe on God for great things, not just the small things. Trust God for some great things. Hey, what's a big prayer that you're praying? What's a big thing that you like to see God do? Trust God for some big things. Here's something you can do. You can beg God for His power. Beg God for His wisdom. Beg God, if you will, to be able to take you through your storm. Okay? So how is it that you and I can be a group of people and strengthen the things that remain so that we don't die? Statement number one, don't let your freshness die. Statement number two, I want you to think about this, if you will. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Now, if you know me, one thing I love. Now, I like soul winning. I like talking to people about Christ. But I really thoroughly enjoy passing out tracts. I mean, I really do. I mean, I enjoy carrying tracts with me. I enjoy passing them out in the store. I enjoy passing them out to people that wait on me at the register. I enjoy passing them out. I mean, you can always tell when I get gas down here off of Lake June. Is it Lake June where the quick QT is? Yeah, that's where I get gas. And so you can always tell where I get gas because they got these little plastic things there. It has three different cylinders. You know, people put their advertisements in there, and I think, okay, they want me to put my advertisement. And so I'll take a gospel track, and I'll put it in each one of those cylinders, you know, and sometimes I'll just start walking and just place them in the cylinders while my gas is pumping. That way when somebody pulls up, it says, you know, come to a church basically that loves you, has the kid's face on there, you know, and stuff like that. All right, now I'm saying this. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Don't let it die. Always be talking to people about Christ. Always giving out gospel literature, gospel tracts. Always sharing your witness about what God did in your life, how you got saved. Always giving out that which is the truth of the Word of God. Hey, don't let it die. Don't let somebody discourage you. Don't let someone, you know, I knocked on the door yesterday. Young man answered the door, invited him to church, gave him a tract. He said, I don't want that. I'm Jehovah Witness. I said, touch it. Just touch it. He said, no, I don't want. I said, no, touch it. Really, really touch it. I said, this thing does not bite. You are not going to become corrupt by touching it. Go ahead, touch it. He touched it. I said, now it's yours. I said, you can have it. He said, I don't want it. I said, it's a gift. I said, if you need anything, just give me a call. Hey, freshness. Just freshness. You know, you don't have to be some. What am I saying? I'm saying don't let it die. Look at the fruit bearing. Look at ways to be able to help people. Over in John chapter 15 and verse 8, the Bible says, wherein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. much fruit. The Bible says, so shall ye be my disciples. So he said, look, my goal is, my desire is, my will is for you that you bear much fruit. Okay, it's important that we do our job in giving out that gospel. You know, make sure that people, hey, take gospel tracts, put them in the, and of course this is an old teaching, but take and put them in your envelope so that when you mail off your bills, if anybody ever does that nowadays, you probably pay everything online, but if you still mail off your bills, take a gospel tract, put it in there. Put it in there. Every time, if you leave a tip, put your money for the tip that you leave on the table after you eat inside of the gospel track. Leave a track. Go to the bathroom, you know, leave tracks in there. Everywhere you go, you get in an elevator, hey, just drop a track on the floor. You go over here to the hospital, you're leaving the hospital, you see those tables out there, they're called track holders, okay? Just take and drop a track on each one of those tables. I'm saying this, always keep it fresh. You know, when you have your eyes on doing stuff like that, can I tell you, you're not going to be looking for, well, I don't agree with this in this Christian's life, and I don't agree with this in this part of the church, and I don't agree with my Sunday school teacher. You know, I find out people that have a desire to see people saved, and they have their eyes on Jesus, they don't find anything wrong. Because they're too busy looking for the right. They're too busy looking for how they can take and help others. They're too busy in getting out the gospel. And so they don't find anything to complain about. By the way, can I tell you, soul winning will make a better marriage. Soul winning will make a better dad and to make a better mom. You know why? Because you've got to yield yourself to God in order for God to use you to the fullest capacity. And soul winning puts you in an area where you are forced to yield yourself to God. Okay, so statement number one, here's what we do. Keep it fresh, keep it fresh. Don't let your freshness die. Statement number two, don't let your fruit bearing die. Acknowledge when there's barrenness. When there's a barrenness in your life, acknowledge that. Man, hadn't led somebody to Christ, hadn't talked to somebody about Christ in a month. Okay, there's some barrenness there. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge. You don't have to be a great soul winner. Just carry tracts. Just pass them out. Hey, read this. This will help you. Like seeing heaven one day. And just walk away. Hey, read this. This tells you how to go to heaven. Read it. Read it. Hope to see you. Hope to see you. By the way, if you get to heaven because you received Christ, one day when you get to heaven, I shake my hand. I'll know you made it. Okay? But reading that tract there will show you how to do it. Okay? All right. So acknowledge your barrenness. You know, abide in the vine. The Bible talks about that we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in the vine. Ask God for fruit. Talk to Him. Say, God, we have a men's prayer meeting in here every Saturday at 4:30, and I like to walk and pray. I mean, I do. Some men like to kneel and pray. You know, I like to walk and pray. You know, some men like to lay prostrate before the Lord and pray, but I like to walk and pray. If I lay prostrate before the Lord and pray, I'm going to snore in about 3 minutes. If I kneel to pray, I might fall asleep. And so, but I like to walk and pray. And so at 4:30 on Saturdays for just a half hour, that's it. You know, I'll come in here, I'll walk around all the pews, and I'm just praying that God will speak to people's hearts. I'm walking up there along the balcony area, not on the banister, but up there in the balcony area. I'm walking along, and I'm just praying that God would speak to people's hearts. Okay, now wait a minute. I'm expecting God to answer prayer. I'm expecting God to come through. I like to see people saved. Well, I pray that if somebody comes, they're not saved in this area, you know, I'll pray that they'll get saved. I'll pray back there. God, if somebody's in this area on Sunday morning, help them to listen on purpose. I like to see them receive Christ. And I'll pray over each and every area. You know what? Because it's God that does the work. I mean, all we are is vessels. That's all we are. Nobody's puffed up around here. Nobody's going around saying, wow, look at me. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that gets all the honor and all the glory. Okay? All right, so wait a minute. So what do I do? Don't let your freshness die. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Something else. Don't let your finances die. Don't let your finances die. One of the biggest ways you can kill your finances is rob God. One of the biggest ways. Don't put God first. He's the creator. Don't put Him first. And watch how all of a sudden your vine begins to dry up. Well, why is it that everybody else is being blessed and not me? Might be because you're robbing God. Okay, don't let your vine dry up. Okay, The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. All right? So be faithful in your giving. You know, in the slothfulness of your, well, it's summer and I'll pick up being right with God at the end of summer. No, it's better to be right with God now than to wait to be right with God. I love that verse over in Proverbs chapter 9 where it talks about that if you give of your first fruits, that he'll fill your barns. He'll fill your barns, okay? Well, I've experienced that all the days of being saved. So I don't just tithe off of a paycheck. Somebody gives me a suit, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Okay, $150 suit, $200 suit, $400 suit, whatever the case may be. Somebody gives me a suit, I'll figure it out and I'll tithe off of the gift God gave me. You know why? Because God likes that. You know, I'll give a tithe. Somebody all of a sudden fills my tank up with gas. Hey, look, I'll pay a tithe off of that. You know why? Number one, God likes that. And when I do that, here's what God does. God looks down and says, man, hardly anybody's doing that nowadays. They forgot that verse, so I'm going to bless you extra. I'm going to bless you extra. And that's what God does. God does. You know, it keeps me mindful of the goodness of God. I don't just take things upon myself. Somebody gives me a pair of shoes, I'll look it up, figure it out, pay a tithe on it. You know why? Because that's the goodness of God. By the way, it's a whole lot cheaper to pay $15 for a pair of shoes. Stay with my thinking a little bit. A whole lot cheaper to pay $15 for a pair of shoes than $150. And so, well, all of a sudden now, you know, God gives me a $150 pair of shoes. I say, wow, you know, I'm going to calculate then, give $15. You know why? Because number one, God said he's going to fill my barns. Number two, I want to be obedient, and I like what God does. I like going around saying, look what God gave me. Look what God gave me. Hey, look what God did for me. Hey, look how good God's been to me. Wow, look at this. The Lord gave me this. The Lord gave me that. And so, you know, it keeps my perspective right. Keeps my perspective right, you know. It keeps me honest before the Lord, and it just keeps my perspective right of how good God has been to me, okay? You say, well, you know, preacher, what if you give God too much? Well, I don't think he's going to sit on it. I don't think he's going to take and say, okay, you gave me too much, so I'm not going to bless you. If you've ever read your Bible, you know this to be true. You serve a very gracious God. And if you can't trust God when you've trusted him for your soul, I mean, you know, you're in a pitiful state of being. You know, you ought to be able to trust God. You know, somebody says, well, I tell you what, we've lived in this dump all our lives, and I just don't see how others live in such nice houses. First thing I ask them, do you tithe? Do you tithe? Well, sir, if you don't tithe, you're going to continue living that dump all your life. I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying don't let your freshness die. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Don't let your finances die. You know, you be sure to put God first. Now, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just testifying. You can do whatever you want to do. But I know this. I know that as I put God first in my finances, I know this to be true. God blesses me. God blesses me. You know, and then because God blesses me, I can turn around and look at the Lord and say, God, you did that. Wow, let me tell so-and-so. Hey, look what God did for me this week. You know, because I put him first and I love him. I'm just being obedient. Hey, look what God did for me this week. Look at this. Isn't this neat? Okay, statement number one. Here's what we see. Okay, don't lose your freshness. Don't let your freshness die. Don't let your fruit bearing die. Don't let your finances die. You ready for this? Don't let your fellowship die. Hey, love God's people. Love God's people. Man, I love our kids, you know, and all four of these guys stand up. If you will. At youth conference, I'll walk down the hallway and say, hey, did you make a decision during youth conference? Man, that is so great. I'm so proud. Did you do that too? Man, that is so neat. Did you do that too? Wow, that is good. Did you do that? Wow, that is so good. Okay, love fellowship. Love fellowship. Hey, I saw you walking down the hallway the other day. You were drinking a drink. Yeah, saw you over there. Was it good? Well, isn't that neat? That was so good. That was just so good. Hey, I saw you the other day. Man, I tell you what. Yeah, I did see you. Okay, I saw you the other day. Yeah, that's right. Okay, now, wait, and thank you, BJ. Fellowship. Fellowship with people. Don't be so tied in. You know, people that are all about themselves are lonely people. They're lonely people. Man, they come to church, They sit by themselves. Comes time to leave, they leave by themselves. When they show up by themselves. Hey, don't be that way. Hey, if you're sitting in a pew and nobody's sitting beside you one day, get up and move. Go sit beside someone. Hey, mind if I sit beside you? Talk to somebody. Would you like to sit beside me? Talk to somebody. By the way, nobody will reject this. Would you like to go out to eat? My treat. No, nobody's going to reject that. You know, what are they going to say? No, no, don't treat me to food. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, yes, today is my steak day. I'm ready. Okay? All right? And so, but be somebody that gives that freshness. Be somebody that fruit bears. Be somebody that allows God to work in your finances. And be somebody that fellowships. Don't be stuck up. Don't be stuck on you. Don't do that. Don't get one of these post-it notes and say, it's all about me. Don't do that, okay? Love others, help others, encourage others, shake somebody's hand, welcome somebody, smile at somebody, pat somebody on the back, tell them they did a good job, encourage them, be there for them, strengthen them, open the door for them, walk out to the parking lot with them, take them out to eat, spend time with them, do what you're supposed to do as a Christian, and just fellowship. Fellowship. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but says it says exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, you can make yourself do anything you want to. Ask my relatives how I was coming up. I'm very much an introvert. Very much. Very much somebody that was to myself. But then I realized I'm pretty lonely. I said, I'm going to change this. I said, I'm going to change this. And I made myself change some things. I made myself. You know, so now when I walk in a room, hey, great to see you. How you doing? Great. Did you have a great week? Yes. Man, you look sharp. You look sharp. Like that thing right there. You look sharp. That's the, you know, you decide how you're going to be. You decide, man, every time I walk into Sunday school, Brother Champion meets me. He's done it for years now. He'll come up, he has these big rugged hands. He's owned them for years. And he'll put those rugged hands on my shoulders and he'll say, just want to tell you something, preacher. He said, you're my man of God. I love you. You know, he's always kidding about my age. Now, he's 102. But he's always kidding about my age, and he'll come up and he'll say, oh, preacher, you're getting old. You're getting old. You're just getting old. You know? And I mean, he's done that for years. He's done that for years. Now, wait a minute. You know, just to be honest with you, I like it. I like it. You know, I don't care if he thinks that I'm older than he is. That doesn't bother me, okay? But there's that fellowship. There's that fellowship. Came over to your house the other night, my wife and I did, sat there in your living room, talked to the kids. Man, do we have a good time or what? Fellowship. Just fellowship. I see new people in the church that's coming. I promise you, you don't have to come very long. I'm going to hit you up in the lobby and say, look, I want to come by and see you. When's a good time for you? When's a good time for you? It's called fellowship. Fellowship. You know, we try from time to time. Brother Coronado had just a little precious baby. 10 years, right, brother? 10 years since you've had a baby. Man, I called him up yesterday. I said, I got to come see the baby. Can I come see the baby? And he said, oh, you want to come see the baby? I said, I want to come see the baby. Can I come see the baby? He said, man, come see the baby. I took the baby, the very first Bible the baby would own. Hey, we stood there in the living room, fellowshipped. We just fellowshipped, okay? Now, I love it. And by the way, you don't always have to go out to eat, okay? When y'all celebrated your 70th wedding anniversary, they invite us to a restaurant. Amen. Restaurant, and we sat there, we fellowshipped. Fellowship is good. You know, there's nothing wrong with fellowship. And you can fellowship different ways. You know, you can sit around, drink water. Fellowship can be cheap. You don't have to go out and say, hey, look, man, buy me a Starbucks. And by the way, if you don't fellowship, you get lonely. Somebody gave me a Starbucks card, had just a little bit of money on it. I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go get. And so yesterday I was tired. It was before the men's prayer meeting. I've been out door knocking in the hot sun. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go get me one of those cafe latte things down at the Starbucks place. So I went there, bought one, got in my truck, started texting people about Sunday school and stuff like that, sitting in the truck all by myself. Yeah. All right, on count three, all. One, two, three. Wait. One, two, three. Aww. All by myself. Man, I'm sitting there drinking the Starbucks thing all by myself for the purpose of texting people saying, hey, like for you to be in Sunday school. Like to see you in church. Stuff like that. Can I tell you, listen, fellowship is good. Fellowship is good, okay? So make it convenient for you to fellowship with others. Have Christians that are partners with you. Have people, if you would please, in church that you have pleasure in fellowshipping with. Let me give you something else that should not die. Don't let your faith in God die. Amen. Well, you know, God, you didn't answer my prayer. I'm mad at you. First off, I would never get mad at God the Creator. I wouldn't do that. He's bigger than you are. He is God. He's going to answer prayer when he gets good and ready. But you ought to keep asking. You know why? Because the Bible talks about that knocking, that asking, that seeking is in a perpetual state of being. It's in a continuance. And so you take and you just keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking. I can't tell you how many times I walk past this pew over here. You know, it's always kind of weak over here, and you know, I've got a burden for that thing to get filled. And so, man, you know, I'll walk past, and thank God you all are sitting there. God bless you, you know. But, you know, I was walking past there and said, dear God, please put some more people in this pew. Kind of encourage my heart a little bit. Would you do that? And, you know, and I was working and praying, and I was walking up the steps and praying over here. And you know, thank God, you know, people are coming. Hey, that's great. But can I tell you, look, don't let that faith in God die. You just keep going. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says holding faith. You have to hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it slip. Hold on to it. When you go to school, hold on to your faith. Well, you know, I've got this teacher. I'm heading to a secular school this coming fall, and I've got this teacher. They don't believe in God. I already know I've got them for a class. Hey, hold on to your faith. Hold on. Don't let anybody shake your faith. You hold on to your faith. The Bible says holding faith, and it says in a good conscience, it says, which having put away concerning faith, it says, have made shipwreck. So if you don't hold on to it, God said you're going to be a shipwreck. You ready? Number next. Okay. Don't let your faithfulness die. Faithful to your husband, faithful to your wife, faithful to your kids. Hey, how about faithful to church? Don't let it die. You know what I found out in England? When England started doing all the stuff that America is now doing, their churches begin to die. Because they became so discouraged. Man, I don't want America to die. They're saying there's a decline in America right now among those that have Christian faith. Well, I want to kick that. I don't want that to die. That makes me more anxious to go out and knock doors. That makes me more anxious to give out tracts. That makes me more anxious to tell you and to tell others, hey, let's talk about God. Let me tell you who He is. Okay? All right? So I'm saying don't let your faithfulness die. Don't get discouraged. Hey, remember the day you used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Get back to it. Get back to it. Don't just be a Sunday morning attender. Hey, come Sunday night. Bite it off. Just bite it off. You never know what it's going to be like until you do it. Just bite it off. You know, make yourself come on a Wednesday night. You say, well, I tell you what, I don't need God that much. You need God more than you think if you think you don't need God that much. Okay? Bite it off. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul said, no, wait a minute. He said, here he is. Here it was. He was with me, and now he's forsaken. Why was he forsaken? He loved something greater. Get it? He loved something greater. He loved this present world. He loved something greater. Something else had his love greater than loving the preacher, loving the man of God, loving the Word of God. He loved something greater. You know what you love, you're gonna be responsive to. You know that? Come on. You ever see somebody, they really love ball playing? You ever see somebody love the Rangers? They go to every game. You ever see somebody love the Cubs? Only one, but he loves the Cubs. Okay? You ever see somebody that loves working with finances? You ever see somebody that loves travel? You ever see, hey, there ought to be some people out there say, I love God. I just love God. Man, I love God. Hey, by the way, when you could come to church on Sunday night, it's not dark when we leave. Still light outside. So I can't drive in the dark. No excuse there. Just took it away. It's still light when we leave. You could still do it. You know, well, I'm afraid I'm going to break down in the dark. Well, you know, still light. Still light. Now, if you stay till midnight, it's going to get dark sometime before midnight. Okay, now I'm saying this. Hey, don't let your faithfulness die. Somebody's looking for you. Somebody's watching you. Everybody's a leader to somebody. Everybody is. Some little kids watching you. Some teenagers watching you. Some college students watching you. They're saying, that's what I want to be like when I get older. Really? They're watching you. They're watching you. Your kids are watching you. Well, you know, I tell you what, I don't come to church all the time. Shame on you. Somebody's watching you. You ought to come to church and get involved. You say, well, I'm just trying to ease my way in. No, jump. Let somebody push you. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, don't let your faithfulness die. Let me give you just one more and I'm done. You ready? Here we go. Don't let your fire die. Somebody told me, they said, I'm 54 now. When I hit 35, here's what they said. I was jumping around, carrying on, preaching. And they said, well, you know, one thing's going to die. As you get older, your preaching will die. Well, I don't want my preaching to die. You know, I want it to be lively. I want it to be something that somebody says, hey, look, when I go, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to sit there. I got it. Boy, I tell you what, he gave me something. He fed me with something. He challenged my heart. He stepped on my toes. I mean, that's the way I want it to be. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. He said, man, I'd rather you be all the way cold or all the way hot than somebody that was lukewarm. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got a choice between being cold or hot, I'm talking about for Jesus. I'm not talking about your physical being. But if I had a choice of being cold or hot for Jesus, I'd rather be hot. Amen. Come on. Amen. One day I'm going to lie in state in a casket. My kids are going to walk by. Now I've got a grandchild. Grandchildren are going to walk by. By then I'll probably have 42. They're going to walk by. They're going to see me lying in state. I'll probably have a church funeral. You know, I think that's a decent thing to do. So I'll probably be laying right here. If we're still in this building, we don't outgrow it. I'll probably be laying right there. My kids are going to walk by. My grandkids are going to walk by. Maybe great-grandkids. I mean, who knows? All right, they're going to walk by there. And as they walk by, I hope they're able to look at me, no matter who they are, and say, one thing I know, he was faithful. He had hard times just like everybody else, challenges just like everybody else, people that loved him, people that hated him, people that said good things about him, people that said bad things about him, but he just kept going. He just kept going. Now, by the way, that's the way it ought to be. Okay? Don't let that which is your fire die, no matter what age you are. Yeah, just don't let it die. Just keep burning. Now, you might burn slower. You might not burn as fast. Come on. Things change in your life. You read Ecclesiastes, the Bible says the grinder shall cease. Bible talks about how even the high noises bother you. As you get older, those things happen. Melissa was a teenager when we reached her in the bus ministry up in Tennessee where I pastored. Right, Melissa? Okay. She's here in church. Mike, raise your hand, Mike. Okay. This is her. This is his better half right here. Okay. He was one of her teenagers also. Rode a bus many years ago. Got saved. Came to church, etc. Watch this. I'm walking down the hallway minding my own business. And Melissa, mischievous as she is, jumped out from around the corner yesterday, honey. Yesterday. Almost died of a heart attack. Would have been her fault. She jumped out from around the corner and goes, ah! I said, that's not right. That hurt. But wait a minute. Watch this. Don't lose your fire. Man, don't lose your fire. You know, here's what the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. I'm done. Here it says, but the slothful in business says not slothful. Pardon me. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So he says, you know, be fervent. Now, what's that mean? That means to be fervent with the way that you serve God. Hey, praise God for what he does in your life. Stop walking around like it's all about you. Praise God for what he does in your life. Well, God's been good. Man, I love it. We go to McAllister's a lot. And we'll go down there, and especially on Sunday, I'll go there because I like their salads. And so we go to McAllister's a lot. And when we go to McAllister's, I'll pray and I take my time. I don't pray for all the missionaries. But I pray long enough that people know I'm a Christian. You know, it's not this, God bless the food, thank you, amen. I don't do that. It's like, God, thank you for our fellowship. You've been kind to us. Man, thank you for church. Now, I love these dear people. God, thank you for them. Bless the food to our bodies now. Give us strength. You know, I'll pray long enough that somebody will catch on that, hey, that guy's praying. That guy's praying. There's people sitting close to me. I pray loud enough that they can't mistake in me praying. Okay? All right? Don't lose your fire. Don't lose your fire. Don't lose that fire. You just decide, hey, look, if you're going to live your life, live it for Jesus. I believe this with all my heart. God's either called you, and I said this in Sunday school, God's either called you to be a preacher or God has called you to support a preacher. So either God's going to come down, he's going to say, man, you're called to preach, or God's going to call you to support a man of God where he can get out there and get the job done. Either way, you're going to get rewards. Because it's a partnership. It's a partnership. You know, I tell these guys, you remember, he first started playing piano. How old were you playing piano? You're my closing illustration. Don't blow it. How old? 5 years of age playing piano. Okay, go to the piano real quick. Can you do that? Just go. Get ready to play something. Watch this. 5 years of age when he started playing piano. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what we did. Honey, in this, what we did? We encouraged him. We were on the road for 12 years. He didn't have a piano teacher. What I did is I found the best piano player in every single church for 12 years and said, hey, Jonathan, you might want to go talk to so-and-so. Play something. I don't care. Using that talent for the Lord. But by the way, he wouldn't do that if we'd encourage him. He wouldn't do that if Dad just stopped pressing. Okay, you can stop now. That's really enough. But here's what I told him. Didn't I tell you this? You can't hear me? Didn't I tell you this? I said, if you ever let that go to your head, honey, didn't we tell him this? I said, if you ever get haughty about it and you ever go to head, I'm going to jerk you off of that piano so fast your fingers won't feel the move. I don't want you to get haughty. I don't want you to get high. I'll kick you. I mean, I love you, but I'll kick you. I don't want you to get high-minded. I don't want you to think that you're somebody. I don't want you to get cocky. Amen. I don't want you to get arrogant. I don't want you to get full of pride. Because, son, I will remove you. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, okay? But we kept his spirit in check. Amen. All right? Now, don't lose your fire, but keep your fire balanced. Right. Don't lose your fire. You know, I realize this. people tell me around the nation, say, preacher, here's how they introduce me now. Many of them would introduce me, this is Mr. Soul Winner. Because even some of the preachers I preach for are not, I do soul winning different. I do soul winning different. I love people, and they do too. But I do a little bit different. Now, they're my heroes. I'm just saying I do it a little bit different. So they'll introduce me. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Listen to me very carefully. So you can't be somebody else. But you can be the best you that God created you to be. And that's all God wants.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.